It is necessary for all Americans to contribute. When we see a wrong, we make it right. It's our past and it's our future. Revolutionary thinking leads to revolutionary change. Embrace the change. Brought to you by the Javits Wagner O'Day Program, providing employment opportunities for people who are blind or have severe disabilities. Embrace the change at jwod.org.
Rodgers has the ball. He's got Chamberlain open underneath. Hope's got it. He shoots. It's up. It's good. 163-143,
96 points. Gower. 700 Level Sports and Action on Philly Sports Radio 950. Rob Ellis, Jamie Iannacone, Harry Mays. Hey, Jamie's Phillies are winning tonight. He's a happy little camper over
3-1, baby. And I'll tell you what, Nunez is playing some good third base.
All right, let's sneak in a quick call and let's bring up
David. You're on Philly Sports Radio 950.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, man.
I wanted to talk about the Phillies, but before I get to that, I was just chilling surf. I saw Leila Ali on Dancing with the Stars.
Did she win?
She is thicker than Cookie, though. Good
Lord, man.
I mean, my God, she's doing the tipsy roll. I had to stop the channel. My God.
Tail off, Dave. It's all right, man. You can throw it.
The Tootsie Roll.
Yeah, what's the Tootsie Roll?
What
I don't
is
even
that?
Know what that is.
The Tootsie Roll, it's a dance from, like, the 90s where you kind of, like...
Oh, that's I know that. There's a song, the Tootsie Roll.
It's kind of, like, it's like a twist.
Dave, okay. Are you okay? You sound like you got your little... You started up there.
Yo, somebody that tall is not supposed to be able to do it like that.
How about Apollo Anton Ono? Did you watch him? Was he in action?
Did he stir up any feelings?
No.
good for you.
It's a risk to stars gets no love, except that I was just channel surfing and you see Lee doing a touchy where you get to stop and pause.
I hear you. All right, so what's your Phillies?
What's your Phillies trade?
Phillies, I think the only way they're going to be able to actually get to a top tier level, they're going to have to buy their way out of it. Because they don't have anything to trade without giving them something that they need. They don't have anything in the minors to trade. They just got to spend money wisely. That's the only way I can see.
So take on contract. Let's see somebody dump one of their big contracts on them. They're going to eat it.
Yeah, that's pretty much
it.
Gotcha.
So. All right, let's go to our first guest of the evening. He's a professor from the University of Pennsylvania, Justin Wolfers. Justin, welcome to the program.
Guys, happy to be with you.
And Justin, you came out a couple weeks ago with the study that basically said, you know, there could be some racial bias in the way that officials, NBA officials, call games. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, it's worth being a little bit clear, which is we find, you examine the same player night after night. And
right.
It turns out for the same player in the same season, on nights in which he has more foul calls against him, it also turns out that player typically has more officials of the opposite race. But the important thing here is, relative to what your question is, it's not clear that we want to call anyone here a racist or anything like that. Our guess is that what's going on here is some form of unconscious bias.
Now, Justin, that's an interesting accent. Is it New Jersey?
You bet it is. There's very few people recognize that.
Austria? What accent?
I spent a couple weeks in Australia at some point too, mate.
All right.
Now, Justin, like you just touched on, it's more of a subconscious thing than a conscious thing, you're saying, from these officials. Is that correct? I just want to make sure I'm understanding exactly where you're going with this.
Absolutely. I've talked to these guys. They're some of the referees, they're unbelievably professional, incredibly committed to getting the calls right. And that's, in some sense, what makes the result all the more striking, which is despite their very, very best efforts to eliminate any bias or any mistakes from their game, it turns out they're calling games somewhat differently for players of their own race than players of the opposite race.
Now, Justin, the one thing was, and when we talked to you a couple of weeks back, I know you did a lot of the circuits, Daily News Live, some other stops. You said basically one of the biggest beefs you had was the NBA came out and they were very critical of your study, yet they hadn't released the quote-unquote information they had gathered and turned it over to you. But since then, they have, in fact, turned it over to you. And what do their studies show?
I got to tell you, I was unbelievably surprised when I looked at their numbers, which is for a week and a half, I had David Stern and Joel Lifton calling me just plain wrong and telling every news media in the outlet that they could talk to that they had evidence I was wrong. And then you look at their numbers, and it turns out their numbers are very, very much consistent with my numbers. Their own study that they commissioned from their private sector consultants using their data finds evidence that the referees call more fouls against players of the opposite race. This is obviously at odds with what they've been saying to the media, but this is their analysis. Now, for what it's worth, for a variety of technical reasons that, frankly, I could bore you to tears on. I'm not sure I'd want to rely on their study, but it's an ironic twist that their study, despite its problems, ends up providing results that are entirely consistent with mine.
We're joined by Justin Wolfers, a Wharton School professor whose study started a controversy about a potential racial bias in officiating calls in the NBA. And now Justin has received access to be able to view the NBA's own study and says it even makes it more so, at least visible to him, that there is racial bias. Justin, why originally did you decide? I mean, you're a Wharton School professor. You could be researching anything, looking into anything. Why this?
Why this? Let me answer that in a moment. I just want to go back to one thing you just said. This is not actually just my interpretation of the NBA study. So ESPN, I thought, in a very clever and important piece of journalism, and also the numbers guy at the Wall Street Journal did the same thing. Each of them independently, as did the New York Times, by the way, took the NBA study to independent economists and statistical experts and said to them, how do you read the evidence in the NBA study? So this isn't what I'm saying. This is what leading other economists are saying as well, that they see the NBA's own study as actually confirming rather than denying my study. Now, I just wanted to get that out of the way, because, you know, of course some schmuck academic will tell you he's right. It's a little more interesting when it's other independent experts who are making that case. So why do we do the study? Economists have always been interested in trying to understand discrimination. And understanding discrimination in this country maybe 50 or 100 years ago was pretty simple. One group hated the other. Now, fortunately, I think that sort of thing has receded substantially. Yet still we see discrimination in hiring or firing or promotions or wages or even trying to get a cab at midnight. And so there's been a movement among psychologists, sociologists, economists, all the nerds, really, trying to understand what could be motivating this. And this is these new theories of unconscious bias, that despite our very best efforts not to be biased, maybe it'll manifest itself in all sorts of behaviours, including refereeing. So as social scientists, we thought the most interesting way of testing such a theory would be to go to the last domain where you might expect to find unconscious bias. And this is where, in some sense, and it's an odd irony, our study really is meant as a compliment to the NBA referees. We think relative to the HR person at your local company, or relative to police who have to decide who to arrest, or relative to even professors who have to decide how to assess their students, we think NBA referees are arguably even better at making these sorts of subjective, rapid assessments than other people. And so given that, let's look to see if we can find any evidence of unconscious bias, even among those who are least likely to show unconscious bias.
Now, Justin, you broke this down by individual referees, correct? Not teams of referees. Obviously, for the most part, they work in threes. You didn't do it with just the teams. You broke it down by each individual ref. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct.
You did it in the teams.
So what we show is the more referees in a refereeing crew who are of your race, the fewer fouls you get. Now, there has been a lot of criticism that I don't know who blew the whistle. And that's true. My data set has 600,000 foul calls over a 14-year period. No one has seen that many foul calls in their lives, including me. So one thing you could do is, in our data, just look for an individual player on nights in which the entire refereeing crew is black compared to on nights in which the entire refereeing crew is white. So when we think about those sorts of comparisons, I don't know who blew the whistle, but I do know the race of the person who blew the whistle for sure. And, of course, I find pretty much the same results when I look at it that way. Now, a lot of the NBA's criticism was I didn't know who blew the whistle. And that's one of the reasons why it's interesting that it turns out their own study of their own data actually confirms my findings, which were based on the refereeing crew, not who blew the whistle.
Hey, Justin, do you know how many, I mean, I don't know, but how many black officials versus white officials are there in the NBA?
Yeah, it's around about 38% white right now.
38% white.
Give or take a couple of points.
No, Justin, he said officials.
Yeah, the officials.
That's correct.
Wow.
So I mean, the players are 83% African-American on average.
And the officials are now 62%, I guess.
Well, no, you're counting Hispanic and everything else.
I hope I didn't misspeak. The players are 83% African-American.
Right.
The officials are 38% African-American.
Oh, officials.
That's what I was trying to get you there.
Okay, because I was just I didn't know that. So
right. Yeah.
Now, Justin, I don't know if you released or saw any specific names. I know you said you didn't know who blew the whistle, but did you notice that there were certain officials that were more biased than others that jumped out at you?
We definitely did do the analysis where we looked official by official to see, you know, in, for instance, in games in which a particular official, you know, was present, was it much more likely to bigger, was the gap in number of fouls against blacks and whites bigger in those games? What was really amazing was how pervasive this bias was. So, in our data, nearly all white officials had a pro-white bias, and nearly all black officials had a pro-black bias. And this isn't just the effect of one or two rogue referees who were, you know, making a lot of mistakes. It was actually fairly widespread among all of them. That's the first answer. And the second is, of course, you know, you guys would love, I would love, in fact, and so that's why I've actually looked at the names of who were the worst offenders. But I think that wouldn't really further this debate at all for me to be, you know, out there naming names based on this analysis. We're trying to make a social science point, not create gossip.
That's what I was going to ask. What are you hoping to attain from this? Or when you originally, like, what is the number one goal that you hope to get out of this study?
As a social scientist, I think this helps build the case that unconscious bias might be important, not in the NBA, actually, but in contexts where people aren't as professional as the NBA referees. So, you know, by jingo, if these guys are making mistakes and showing unconscious bias, don't you worry a little bit more about, you know, I don't know if you guys have got kids, your kids applying for jobs, or how their teachers or professors treat them, or how the police treat them, or how judges treat them. And so it's that broader social science point that we think is a lot more interesting. And hopefully we've sort of focused people's minds a little around the fact that even in a world in which conscious forms of bias have largely receded, it's possible that unconscious bias still affects the judgment of very good, very motivated people despite their best efforts.
Well, aside from the effect that it's going to have overall in the world, for our listeners' purposes, if you're an NBA fan, do you think there'll be any kind of change if you talk to the head of referees or David? I mean, I know they've kind of said, well, this is all a bunch of, you know, nothing and it doesn't mean anything, but do you think there's going to be any kind of a change because of what you've uncovered?
Yes and no. Let me start with a no. The truth is that the effects we uncovered are relatively subtle. It took a huge database and a lot of work, and at best we find that this will change the number of foul calls against a player by 4%. So these aren't massive effects by any means. And so that's the sense in which if I were David Stern, rather than having spent the last week and a half trying to denounce as untrue something which even your own research says is true, I would have simply embraced the study and said, look how far we've come. I mean, this is a long way away from, you know, Jackie Robinson and the color bar. Now, I think in the off-season, it's possible, in a quiet, reflective moment, away from the glare of the media, that they'll spend some time thinking about this. I'm not super optimistic. I mean, the NBA is a business, and they've been very much more interested in winning a PR war over what's true and what's not than they have been in trying to genuinely understand what's going on. I've made several attempts to, or I've actually been in touch with them, I've made several offers to help them understand what their own data is telling them and potentially help them institute better procedures. At the moment, they're not receptive to that at all, but maybe they'll hire other experts, and I think that's fine.
Hey, Justin, since they came out with their study and you had a chance to look at it and a lot of the figures kind of, you know, lined up with what you had, has anybody in the league office, I know they were very vehement against your study, has anybody approached you and said, look, you know, maybe some of the things you had to say were, you know, pretty on base?
No, and in fact, the most that they'll say right now is a two-word answer, which is no comment. And frankly, if I were inside the league, I would find this a little embarrassing.
Okay.
And I would hope that the story disappears pretty darn quickly, and I think rightly they have egg on their face.
Justin, you have any more projects in the offing that could be of interest to sports fans?
Oh, sure, but let's hold them for another day, eh?
All right. Justin Wolfers, Professor Penn, we appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight.
Great. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks. Have a good night.
Good night.
Okay, got enough time. Run in, grab the six-pack, get out. Fanatics.